In Luke 15, Jesus gives two parables about something valuable being lost. In the first story, a shepherd loses a sheep. In the second, a woman loses a coin. In both parables, the things were searched for, they were recovered, and the owners rejoiced. And by the way, these parables come right before the parable of the prodigal son. I preached on the prodigal earlier this year, so we won't repeat that. But in Luke 15, you have these three parables grouped together, each about things lost being recovered. The lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son. Of course, parables can't be understood without context. So Luke gives us the context right away, beginning in verse 1. Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." The tax collectors and sinners were drawing near to Jesus to hear him teach. As you should know, these people were considered the bad guys of society, the ones that the Jewish rulers wanted nothing to do with. Tax collectors especially were considered traitors because they were Jews working for Rome. In contrast to these people, you had the Jewish rulers, the Pharisees and scribes. They viewed themselves as the good guys, the righteous and devout ones, the ones who were faithful to Yahweh. But verse 2 says that they complained or grumbled, depending on your translation. They were grumbling about Jesus because he associated with the sinners. For them, that was a mark against Jesus. For them, that meant that Jesus was not on their side. If he was, he would not be engaging with those people. And they really didn't like that Jesus was eating with them. That was a big deal. In the Bible, eating or table fellowship is extremely important. It's a sign of unity. It is a participation of one another. The leaders knew that, and that's why they did not want to eat with the sinners. This is ironic, though, because grumbling is not a characteristic of a devout follower of Yahweh. Who was known for grumbling in the Bible? The unfaithful Israelites in the wilderness. They frequently grumbled against Moses and Yahweh, even over matters of food. They said, "We want to go back to Egypt because the food was so much better back there." In the New Testament, when you see the scribes and Pharisees grumbling over food, that lets you know that they were not devout. They viewed themselves as righteous and the others as sinners, but they had it backwards. They were the sinners. And the others, the ones going to Jesus, they were the righteous. Jesus' parables were meant to expose the leaders for who they really were. Verse 3. So he spoke this parable to them, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing." Jesus was asking the Pharisees to put themselves in a position of a shepherd, which is fitting because they were supposed to be shepherds to the people. He said, "If you were a shepherd and you lost a sheep, wouldn't you try to find it? And wouldn't you rejoice when you found it?" And the assumption is that Jesus' audience would agree. Yes, you find the sheep and you rejoice. That would be the sensible thing to do. Jesus continued, "And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost.'" Again, the assumption is that the audience would agree. Yes, that would be the right thing to do. You would be so excited and overjoyed that you would tell others You would want others to share your joy. And then Jesus gave the moral of the story in verse 7. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. This is when Jesus connected the parable to the context. The sheep that was lost and found is the one sinner who repents. The sheep represented the sinners who were coming to hear Jesus, the sinners who were eating with him. And this tells us that these sinners were repentant sinners. These were repentant sinners. They were becoming disciples of Jesus. How many times have you heard someone use Jesus eating with sinners as an excuse for them to be worldly and to keep their worldly friends? That excuse does not work, because these were repentant sinners that Jesus was eating with. If the sheep represented the sinners, then who did the shepherd represent? That should be easy, right? The shepherd represented Jesus. Jesus is the true and godly shepherd. He has a heart for the lost. He seeks the lost. He finds them and he carries them on his shoulders. That is the kind of shepherd that Jesus is. We heard from Ezekiel 34 this morning. Yahweh prophesied that he would rescue his sheep and bring them into the flock. He said, I will seek the lost. I will bring back what was driven away. I will bind up the broken and strengthen the sick. I myself will search for my sheep. Well, in Luke 15, we see Jesus fulfilling that work. Jesus fulfills Ezekiel 34, which is just one evidence, by the way, that Jesus is Yahweh. He's doing Yahweh's work. He's doing what Yahweh said he would do. He is the true shepherd because he is Yahweh in the flesh. Yahweh and the true David. The David that is set up to be the shepherd of his people. Of course, this meant that the Pharisees were false shepherds for not seeking the sheep. They thought they were righteous, but they weren't acting like Yahweh at all. We should also see them as false neighbors, because they did not rejoice when the sheep was found by another shepherd. Did they rejoice with Jesus? No. They grumbled. They grumbled about it. And this brings us now to the 99 sheep. Who did the 99 represent? We usually think of the 99 as all of the faithful, all of those who live righteously and follow God with sincerity. We imagine Jesus finding the lost sheep and bringing it back to the 99, back where it belongs. And that certainly is the takeaway from Matthew's account of this parable. Jesus uses it in Matthew 18. But there are some differences between Matthew and Luke that I think are significant. First, the contexts of each version are different. In Matthew, Jesus is speaking to the disciples about not despising the little ones. It's when he holds a child in their midst and warns of not causing little ones to sin. But in Luke, Jesus is speaking to the scribes and Pharisees in response to their grumbling. Second, in Matthew's version, Jesus refers to the 99 as those that did not go astray, giving us the common view, right? That the 99 represent the faithful. But in Luke, Jesus refers to the 99 as just persons who need no repentance. Just persons who need no repentance. And this is where things get interesting. When I read that in the context of the scribes and Pharisees, it sounds to me that Jesus was being sarcastic. He was being sarcastic. We've already established that the Jewish rulers were the sinners in the story, but they didn't view themselves as sinners, did they? No, they thought they were righteous and just, needing no repentance. That's what they thought of themselves. So it seems to me that Jesus was referring to them as the 99. He was taking a dig at them. He was saying, heaven is rejoicing over these sinners, but heaven is not rejoicing over you. The 99 were the apostate Jews, and the repentant sheep were the true remnant of Israel, the ones converting to Christ. Now, this is not the common understanding of this parable, and if you disagree with me, that's fine. But we need to remember that each gospel has its own emphases, and we need to take those into account when we are interpreting. Consider that Jesus' ministry was for 3 years, 3 years long. It would have made sense for him to use the same parables, the same teachings over and over again, but with slight variations depending on his audience. I've taught on this before with the Lord's Prayer. The words of the Lord's Prayer are different between Matthew and Luke. Why? Because they are not describing the same event. The contexts are different. So I think it's very plausible that Jesus used the parable in Luke differently than he did in Matthew. Besides, do we actually believe that there are people who need no repentance? No. Everyone needs repentance. That group does not actually exist. So for me, that is further proof that Jesus was being sarcastic toward the Pharisees. And if the 99 represented the Jewish leaders, then they would not remain in the flock forever. Jesus would not keep all of them. And if that seems shocking to you, remember back to Ezekiel 34. Yahweh said, I will strengthen the weak sheep, but the fat and the strong sheep I will destroy. I will judge between sheep and sheep. I will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. So in this one flock, there was a mixture of faithful sheep and unfaithful sheep, those who were repentant and those who weren't. At the time, in the first century here, the Pharisees were still in covenant with God, objectively speaking. They were still among the sheep, but that would not last forever unless they repented, unless they followed Jesus into the kingdom, into the new covenant. Those who wouldn't would be destroyed. In verse 8, Jesus gives the second parable, the parable of the lost coin. It's very similar to the lost sheep and essentially makes the same point. What woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I lost." The coin went missing. The lady went on the search, and when she found it, she rejoiced. She wanted her friends and neighbors to rejoice with her. And the moral of the story is the same as the sheep. Verse 10, "Likewise I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." The lost coin represented the sinners who had repented. The Pharisees were not being like the woman. They weren't looking for the lost coin. They did not care about the lost coin. Ironically, they were shortchanging themselves by avoiding the repentant sinners. They were missing out on something valuable. Valuable people whom God loved dearly. It was their loss. It was Jesus who was being like the woman in the story. He searched, he found, he rejoiced. The Pharisees did not. They were not good neighbors. Jesus said, "There is joy before the angels over one sinner who repents, not over the coins that never needed to be found." Again, this was a dig on the Pharisees. If only one sinner were to repent, that sinner would be greater than a whole group of Pharisees. One repentant sheep or one repentant coin is greater than all of the unrepentant ones. These parables showed that the Pharisees were the ones against Yahweh. They thought they were on the right team, but they were not. It was Jesus and the repentant who were on the right team. The Pharisees should have rejoiced that the lost were being found, but they weren't rejoicing, which showed that they were the lost ones. They were the lost ones. It exposed them as the unrepentant sinners. The parables show us that Jesus is the true shepherd, the true David, that he loves the sheep and he delights to bring the sheep into the flock. He delights to put the sheep on his shoulders. He's the true coin owner. He cares about the coin and he searches for the coin. And when he finds it, he tells us to rejoice with him. As Christians in the new covenant, you are now the flock of God. You are the flock of God, and you need to take heed to these things. You cannot become arrogant and self-righteous like the Pharisees were. You must remember your own sinfulness, your own unworthiness. Yes, you have been saved and you have been made saints, but that should motivate you to be humble and compassionate. Humble and compassionate. Please hear me when I say that you cannot become calloused against the lost. You cannot become calloused against the lost. That is especially true in light of the events this past week in our nation. I've seen some callousness from Christians on the internet the past few days. And don't misunderstand, you should have righteous anger for the murders that have occurred. You should pray for the death penalty to come swiftly for the murderers. And it seems that some people are waking up to those things. Praise be to God. But you need to remember that righteous anger is righteous. It does not lead you to sin. Righteous anger does not return evil for evil. Righteous anger does not override the fruits of the Spirit that you are to abide by. So keep yourself in check and stay balanced. You cannot become calloused because there are lost sheep and lost coins that Jesus still wants to find. You have to keep that perspective. So pray for the lost. Pray for their salvation. Pray for revival in people's hearts, in your city, in your nation, and all over the world. And when the lost are found, make sure that you rejoice. When sinners repent, you are to rejoice with Jesus and the angels. You rejoice when apostates are restored. You rejoice when those caught in sin go and sin no more. On this very day, people are turning to God and going back to church because of what happened this past week. Praise God for that. And may He use this moment to bring many people into His kingdom. But what if the repentant is someone that you have great disdain for? Someone that you view as the epitome of evil, such as a killer. That can be hard. But even then, Jesus calls you to rejoice. Heaven rejoices, so you better rejoice too, or else heaven will be against you. Rejoice when sinners convert to Christ. When the lost are found, we cannot divide the table. That's what the Pharisees did. They kept the sheep divided at the table. But Jesus' table is a table of unity. When sinners repent, we eat with them regardless of their past and regardless of their present. Their present might be messy and rough around the edges, but we share a meal with them anyway. Aren't you glad that Jesus eats with sinners? He eats with you. We cannot grumble about that. We can only rejoice. Do not repeat the sins of the Pharisees. You must stay in the flock, but in the flock as a repentant sheep. Not a sheep that need no repentance. That's not right. Jesus will judge between sheep and sheep. There are people among the flock within history who won't be in the end, who won't be on the final day. Make sure that is not you. And in the meantime, help bring others in.